Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs show over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by SAMA, the Southern Alleghenies Museum of Art, at the Anderson House. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Joe Padula of the Bedford Speedway, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Attention race fans, Thomas Chevrolet is giving away a NASCAR Racecation for two. Test drive a Chevy now through September 1st at Thomas Chevrolet in Bedford, and you'll be entered to win a Racecation of a lifetime that includes riding shotgun with race car legend Dale Jr., 5 nights hotel accommodations, tickets to watch the big NASCAR races at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Visit thomaschevrolet.com to find your ride. Thomas Chevrolet, located along Business Route 220 in Bedford. All details at the dealership.
Have you bought your snow shovel yet? How about the gardener to clean up the yard for fall, or that leaky window in the back? Wouldn't it be great to be rid of all of this? At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, you'll learn how easy and inexpensively you and your spouse can set up a new home in a beautiful community that offers maintenance-free fun and a first-class chef to prepare your meals. Give them a call at 623-0349 and declare your independence at Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is Tim Harkle-Road, CEO at Conemaugh Nason Medical Center in Roaring Spring, Pennsylvania. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
When I first met Joe about a year ago, Joe was very gracious to invite me over to his place here and let us learn a lot about speedways and racing. But Joe, I have a question for you this morning I wanted to ask you. You just celebrated your 82nd birthday just earlier this month. What started this?
Well, of course, the first race here at the Speedway was September 5th, 1936, and that was part of the Bedford County Fair. Now, the fair in Bedford goes back much further than that,
right?
Probably, you know, into the late 1800s. And kind of nationwide in the early part of the 20th century, cars were big. You know, at the county fair, any place where you had a level place where you could put a track, people wanted to race. You know, it was high tech fancy,
yeah.
And people wanted to see racing. And in the 1920s, 30s, the kind of the county fair circuit took off, where the racers would come into to a track like we have here, and they built a beautiful track back, you know, in the early 30s, nice half mile, graded, beautiful grandstand. And as part of the county fair, it was an attraction. And you know, these drivers that came in here in the 30s, they were guys that raced all over the country. You know, they raced basically what you would call Indianapolis-style cars, same cars you would race at the Indy 500 in those days. And the guy who won the first race here, Billy Wynn, and the race that we just did in honor of our anniversary is the Billy Wynn Classic. Mm. You know, he started probably, I think, 9 or 10 Indianapolis 500s in that time. You know, he was kind of a national guy, a guy who comparable to this day and age to, say, like a NASCAR driver, somebody who races all over the country. So anyhow, when the fair would come along, which was in September, it was an attraction, and the place would be packed. You know, you read in these old newspaper articles, you know, 10,000, 15,000 people would come out to these races. And we're still here today, 82 years later, racing on the same track. You know, everything's different. Everything's not quite 80 years old that we race with, but the track is the same. And, you know, we're really excited to kind of keep up that tradition.
Well, what I find fascinating about the whole thing is that 82 years later, this is all way, 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 way pre-television, pre-internet, pre-cell phones, pre-everything. They had radio broadcasting, but that's about it. They didn't even have television. And so people came out for this kind of entertainment, and they still come out to this day. I think there's something a little raw about the whole thing. You still see it in the fans' eyes when they come?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you come to one of our races here, or a racetrack anywhere, you know, you can't beat the excitement, the noise. When the cars go by you, the ground shakes, the adrenaline, the rush. You know, the racers that drive the cars, you know, they... For them, it's an incredible experience, but for people like us to just sit and watch, it's something that can't be beat. You know, you can go sit at a baseball game and sit there all day, but when you come to a race, you can feel it. You're almost a part of the experience. And what we do here every Friday is basically continue that. You know, you sit in the grandstands or you sit around the track, and it just your whole body gets excited just to sit and watch the racing, and it's really a fantastic sport, and that's why you know, auto racing is 100 plus years old essentially in the, in this country now.
And I would think it was, we said earlier that cars were new, and they had horse racing of course long before that, but an automobile, well, what, 10 or 12 automobiles going around a half mile track at the rate of speed they're on, that it's a much bigger event than a horse.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And this track here at Bedford was originally a horse track, and they still race horses here. Mm-hmm. You know, the it is the standard size horse track. But obviously, if you look back in the 1930s, the spectacle of these cars, and these cars were total beasts, just huge, huge machines, noisy, a lot like we have now, but
heavy, I guess. Yeah.
Heavy, hard to drive. And driving them around here, you know, a lot of the people that came to those races in the 30s probably hadn't seen anything like it, and that's why people came out. I mean, it was just an incredible thing to watch. I wish I could have been here because it must have been amazing.
I was talking to a guy. I'm trying to remember the name of the track. It was in South Jersey, Glassboro, Swedesboro, down there someplace, South Jersey. And he told me when they started racing, it wasn't 30s, but I think it was the 50s. He said the cars were built to last, and if they ran into each other, they just bounced off. There was no crumpling fenders or anything. He said today, you know, they do that for safety, but you know that these things. He said so if the driver survived it, you know, they could end up keep racing. So that was kind of what made the excitement of the whole thing. Our guest is Joe Padula, promoter for the Bedford Speedway here in Bedford County, of course known all over the United States and especially Pennsylvania. You were telling me before we went on the air that you were founded in 1936. Making it one of the oldest in the country and the oldest in Pennsylvania. But there are tracks like this all over Pennsylvania. So was Pennsylvania a leader in this thing? Were they one of the first to do it?
Auto racing, you know, kind of picked up in various hotbeds. You know, you look at, say, Milwaukee, which the Milwaukee Mile had its first race in 1908, I think. Boy, Indianapolis dates really? Back to 1909. You know, there's different racetracks all over. But once probably the 20s and the 30s came around, it kind of picked up nationally. And there were hotbeds, you know, California, Indiana, all over. As things developed, you know, Pennsylvania currently is kind of a racing hotbed in that we have either the second or the third most tracks of any state in the country after, I think it would be Illinois and Iowa, I believe. So if you're not familiar with racing around here, basically, you don't have to go that far to find a track, you know, just like the one we have here in Bedford, somewhere here in the state. Mm. You know, within probably a three-hour drive of here in Bedford, I'd say there's anywhere from 25 to 30 tracks, and most of them are racing every weekend. So it's a very thriving thing, and if you yourself don't race, I bet you don't have to look too far to find someone who either does or attends the racing.
Well, I was looking around the conference room where we are right now with Joe, and there are these wonderful old pictures of the track back, even when they had horses on. I see some horses on some of these photographs, and some of these pictures look like they're from the 40s and the 50s. And so what is it about dirt racing? See, I'm not a racer. I don't know the first thing about it. But all I know is when I watch it, and I've been to many of the races to watch it, these cars kind of slide around a little bit. Well, you can't do that on a macadam raceway. So is that part of the allure, is that the way they can move around and slide around? And that's all part of being a good driver, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to go fast at dirt, you have to go sideways through the corner. And the drivers are on the edge. You know, you're watching these guys handle these high horsepower machines that are animals, basically at the edge of their control. And that's been the same the whole way through the history of racing, is you're watching guys push these machines as far as they'll go. And when you stand down here in turn one, when the cars come at you, and you watch them all go into turn one, crank it sideways, throw dirt up over the wall, it's a spectacle. I don't drive a race car, and I know I couldn't do that because it's a skill. And to watch these drivers do it, it's just phenomenal. And since you're on dirt, the track surface is always changing. Sometimes it's drier, sometimes it's wetter, sometimes it's slippery, sometimes it has a lot of traction. So the best drivers know how to drive their car, how to control their car, and how to set up their car to take the best advantage of the situation. If we're racing here, and for instance, it's you're racing in sunshine and it's a very hot day, the track might be greasy and dry, which is completely different than, say, if you're racing on a wetter track, which has a lot of traction, so the cars go a lot faster, but you don't have to deal, say, with so much steering or throttle control.
Now, that's interesting. I thought a wet track would be just the opposite. It would be slippier, but you're telling me it's not.
Yeah, wet track is high traction. So when the cars are going the fastest, it's on a wet track where they can really get the horsepower down on the ground. And by wet, I don't mean mud and standing water, but damp opposed to a drier track, which maybe is almost even more like an asphalt type. After they've been running on it.
So this is why you guys wet the track.
What we do here is, we race pretty much every Friday, but as soon as the races are over Friday, you have to get to work on preparing the track for the next week. So, Saturday morning, we're grading it back smooth, fixing any ruts, getting it back to level. And then you have to, through the week, depending on the weather, water it, till it, grade it, sheep's foot it, all sorts of different things, depending on the weather conditions, to get it to where it's 7 o'clock on Friday night, the cars can go fast on it.
I've always wanted to know this. A dirt track is obviously a dirt. Is it a special dirt? Do you bring the dirt from somewhere else?
Well, there's all sorts of different types of dirt. And throughout the country, people use different types of dirt depending on where they are. Here in Pennsylvania, we have fabulous Pennsylvania red clay, which it holds the moisture. It stays together. It's almost perfect for racing in that you can keep it smooth, keep the dust down, and keep it racy. If you have, say, a kind of dirt that's not so heavy, when you put water to it, it'll rot up, it'll become dusty. So here in Pennsylvania, we're blessed with this nice red stuff, which we have to haul in constantly because every time it rains or every time dirt leaves on a car, you're constantly losing dirt, and we're constantly hauling more in, and we have some secret places that we haul it in from.
You don't have to go to Alaska to get it. It comes from Pennsylvania.
Here right. in the county, gotcha. If you look around, you'll see there's if you dig a hole, there's some beautiful red clay, and that's great to race on.
Our guest on Bedford County Speaks today is Joe Padula, is the promoter for the Bedford Speedway, and you're obviously hearing the words of an expert here. And when we come back, we're going to learn about what they're doing at this track and specifically what they're going to do for the next couple of months, because they got some major stuff coming up, which is very interesting to me. I want to ask him what the Elmer Ruby tribute is. I wonder who Elmer Ruby, you can tell me this when we get back from the break, right here on Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
So we have returned to the Bedford Speedway right here in Bedford, right off of Lincoln Highway. And, you know, Joe, it's interesting to me that the Speedway is, in fact, located on the Lincoln Highway, the oldest transcontinental highway in the whole United States, and goes in with your history because the highway was built in 1913 as a transcontinental route, and now you have this place. I want to remind you also that Bedford County Speaks today is brought to you by SAMA Organization. That's S-A-M-A, which stands for the Southern Allegheny Museum of Art. SAMA has just opened their fifth and most exciting museum right here in downtown Bedford. Located right on Pitt Street in the beautifully renovated Anderson House, SAMA offers a world-class collection of fine art for the whole family. Right now, the exhibit includes an outstanding group of works by old European masters, such as Albrecht Dürer and Rembrandt, as well as a local artist. The museum is open daily every day except for Tuesday. For more information, visit sama-art.org. That's sama-art.org for the Southern Allegheny Museum of Art. Our guest is Joe Badillo, and he is with us here talking about the track. So in 1936, it goes continuously with a few interruptions like the World War II and some other things. It is the oldest dirt track, and has the racing been similar the whole time, or has dirt racing changed a great deal?
Dirt racing throughout its history is always changing, always in a state of flux. Back in the 30s, when Bedford started out, there was essentially just one type of dirt racing, and that was called big car racing, which is essentially Indianapolis cars.
Oh, really?
So the cars here were the same as, you know, in Indianapolis, and that's what they ran here. And as primarily after World War II, you started seeing different things come up. They started with big cars and then midget cars, which were the same thing but scaled down. And then you started having stock cars showing up, which were essentially guys taking their cars off the road and racing them. Things are always changing because drivers and racers are always trying to go faster, to improve things. And as soon as somebody thinks of something to go faster, everybody does it. So cars never stay stagnant. You know, something that you ran even just a couple years ago in a late model or a sprint car, you might not be able to do now. But we have, of the different divisions we run, we have a wide spectrum from things that are kind of the ultimate things on dirt, the late models and the sprint cars, which are fast, custom-built, high-horsepower machines built simply to race, down the whole spectrum to cars that are still pretty stock-based. You know, you see Monte Carlos and things like that look like things that go down the road. And they're obviously a little bit slower around the track, a little bit cheaper to run, things like that. So for a racer, there's kind of something for everyone.
Do the cars actually go faster than they did 40 years ago?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can look at the lap times of just here, you know, at our track, which, you know, has been documented through history. And our fastest cars currently now, when the conditions are right and they want to go fast, the sprint cars are doing high 15-second laps, 15.8, 15.9 second laps is the track record here, which is fast. Fast, fast, fast.
Well, how fast is that if we were like on my speedometer in my car, how fast would that be, you think?
For an average speed for a half a mile, right, the average would work out to something like 135 or so miles an hour. But you have to figure you're on an oval. So you're going to the end of the straightaway, slowing down and coming back. So you're going a lot faster at the end of the straightaways. Going 140 or 150 at the end of a straightaway and then making a big turn, you know, it takes a good driver.
Well, being that 140 is about three times as fast as you would drive when you're going down I-99,
that's hopefully fast.
I've always heard the rumor. I know. Is it true that the cars are designed to only make left turns?
Essentially, because the cars are custom built now, you know, they're designed just for racing. Essentially, yes. You know, they can turn right, but if you looked at a professional race car, you know, a sprint car, a late model, or a modified, you'll see that even setting still, it's offset, so that it's a lot easier to go left than it is to go right. You know, they set up the stagger, they set up the car with, you know, lower ride height on one side, higher on the other, so that it's a lot easier to go left. Now, if we were on a course where you had to go right and left, that car wouldn't work.
Right.
But you'll see them in just these cars just sitting in a parking lot. You know, they look mean because they aren't level. You know, they're crouched over the left side. They look fast sitting still. And you go to a car show, you see kids and even adults, you know, just wanting to get their picture taken, wanting to sit on them, wanting to check them out because they're just awesome machines to look at.
I don't know if you know this, but I mean, I don't know. I wonder if you know it. But do you have any idea why they go left? I mean, is there such a thing as a right racetrack? I've never seen one.
Well, now you're going to get a little history lesson.
Okay, this is what I was looking for here. Yeah.
Kind of. There's two forms of racing.
Because I'm left-handed, so I'm kind of partial to this, you see.
Well, then you came to the right place then. You know, there's essentially racing on ovals, which we do, mm-hmm. and there's also what's called road course racing, which right. is, you know, rights and left, yeah. up over hills, and right. these are courses, you know, that might be 4 or 5 miles long, and they kind of descended from back in the, you know, 1900s, 1910s, when a guy would set up a race course that was like, hey, we're going from this town down the country road to that town, we're going to go left at that town, back over here, up past that guy's barn, and come back, and that would be, you know, a 10 or 12 mile course.
They did this stuff in Europe. I mean,
yeah, it's still, I mean, right. it's a big thing in the United States, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind mm-hmm. of where it came from where auto racing originally descended.
Gotcha.
And those kind of country road courses descended into what are now, you know, closed course road courses, which here in the United States, you know, we have many. You know, there's Watkins Glen, there's, they're all over. Mm-hmm. However, the kind of Americanized form of racing, because it wasn't so easy to go racing on country roads with your Model A's and Model T's because, well, we have kind of laws that say you can't go down the road willy-nilly. So racing in this country kind of evolved a little bit differently. Since we had the county fairs with the existing horse tracks, drivers basically kind of say, hey, let's go out to the local fairgrounds and race there. So in Europe, and to a lesser degree here in the United States, road course racing is huge. While in the United States, it's mostly oval track racing, which is almost non-existent over, say, in Europe. But to answer your original question of why do they go left,
right.
well, you have to ask the first guy with a horse back in, you know, the 1700s that first laid out the horse track, because we, as dirt track racers, essentially just stole all of the horse racing stuff. We sold their tracks, we sold their ideas, we sold the way that they set up their races, their terminology. So I could tell you about the auto racing history, but I don't know the horse racing history, and that might be where we have to go to answer.
You're like a history professor. This is great. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. Like I see the first will be, I guess, tomorrow, Sunday, will be the Elmer Ruby Tribute. So who's Elmer, and what did Ruby do?
Well, Elmer Ruby, he's a local racer here who raced in the 60s, 70s, very successful, raced not only here at Bedford, but at many of the tracks in this area. And he recently passed away last year. So tomorrow is the start of the Bedford Fair, and we race Sunday and also Friday. We race twice, different show each night, different divisions. And what myself and the Fair Association decided to do was, you know, let's kind of use these fair races to honor some of these local racing heroes.
Yeah, that's great.
And this year we've decided to do that. The Friday race is in honor of Frank Dunkel, who he passed away, I think it was 2 years ago. He had a huge impact on local racing through his various business activities and whatnot. And the fair races in Bedford are, you know, just fantastic. You know, that's the pretty much the biggest week of the year. The stands will be full. The crowd is excited. The rides will be here. The food will be here. And every racer that races here at Bedford, they want to run the fair race. So
that is the big time. I didn't know that. So I thought it'd be the other way around. That maybe the fair may be a distraction and people wouldn't go to the races as much. But the opposite is true.
Well, at some level, it's a distraction.
Yeah, right.
but you know, it's a good distraction.
Right.
When you're here at the racetrack and you can look out on the midway with all the rides and the lights and the, you know, the food stands, the whole atmosphere, it just takes everything up another notch. The fair shows are usually the highest attended crowd-wise shows of the year, and most guys that are here racing, you know, they can remember coming to the fair as a kid, going to the fair races as a kid, and it just holds a special place. So we had for many years only been doing one fair race, but we're starting to do two again, which kind of you know, gives everybody kind of double the pleasure. But it's about the best time of the year. You know, the fair in Bedford is just a great place to be.
So in the subsequent weeks, you have these others like the Mus Wyant Special, the Legends of Route 30 Night, the 31st Annual Labor Day Championship. Everything seems to have a theme. So you build themes around this thing. And they're different every year, I assume, except for the ones that are named.
As far as I'm concerned, you don't want to have a race that's just another race. You know, you want every race to have some hook to it, something special, something exciting. So we'll do a race, you know, that might have our regular divisions that are running, four or five divisions, but we try to do maybe some extra laps for one of the divisions, some extra money for the drivers, or something fun, you know, for the fans. Like a couple weeks ago, we did a big promotion. It was $2 admission to get into the track, and you know, that's kind of a give back to the fans too. You don't want to get bored. You know, you want something always a little extra, a little fun. End stretch, we got about another month kind of regular racing until Labor Day on Friday nights. And then once September starts, you know, it's kind of racing usually winds down across the region. And we take a couple weeks off, and then we come back. We have our big show. It's essentially the biggest show that's ever been done here at Bedford, which will be our 15,000 to win late model show, which that's something that'll, you know, bring in national level guys to go against our local guys.
Oh, really?
And because Bedford's such a hard track to race, it's so unique. It's uphill and downhill. It's so difficult to drive.
Do the Bedford guys ever beat the national guys?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Because Bedford is so hard that the local guys, our guys that are here on a regular basis, have such a home field advantage that, you know, I'll take them. They're so tough. I'll take them on any of these national guys, you know, these touring professionals that come in. And our guys have a pretty good record with them, because Bedford is not a place you can just come into. It doesn't matter if you've raced all over the country. Bedford is hard. Bedford is hard to get used to. So that'll be our last race of the year, the Keystone Cup.
Boy.
And I look forward to hopefully a Bedford guy taking home the big money and the big trophy.
Wow. Well, that's something to look forward to. And the date of that, I see, if I get this right, the 29th of September, Saturday. Does that sound right?
Okay. Yeah, that'll be at the end of September, and that'll be the end of our season.
Well, you've been terrific. I'm almost out of time here, but I just want to encourage you that if you haven't been to this track, and I told Joe when he walked in, I always assume that people, I know everybody in Bedford knows each other. They've all been here forever, and they've all done this. And that's not true. Sometimes we have people that have come here, maybe like me, for the first time just a few years ago, or maybe they've been here forever, and they've done everything in Bedford except come to this track. So here's your chance to do it. You can hear the excitement in Joe's voice. He's very interested in his work, obviously, and he said his family's been involved for this a long time. And I assume your drivers have this same enthusiasm when they come here, don't they?
Oh, yeah. You know, guys that race, they race because they love it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the drivers we have here are second and third generation racing families. You know, they love it. Their families love it. Their friends love it. And it's a way of life.
Is there a different mechanical challenge to this kind of racing than there is to some of the other ones you're talking about? You know, hard course racetracks versus dirt. I mean, do they have to have a separate or different kind of mechanical feel to the car? Is there mechanical maintenance maybe? Is that different?
Well, the cars that we race here on the dirt, you know, they're highly specialized, designed just for this. So guys that work on them, I'm sure their skills could also go along on some of the other stuff. But if you're going to work on a dirt car, you need to, because it's very specialized. And because you're racing on dirt, which is a variable, it's always changing. You have to know not only what is the track doing, but what is your car doing? How can you get the two to work in harmony? Mm-hmm. And these guys that work on these cars and make these adjustments and do these things, they're wizards.
Joe, you've been super. I really appreciate it very much for taking the time to talk to us. And hope you'll invite me back next year, too. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Our guest today has been Joe Padula, who is the promoter of racetrack, obviously, the Bedford Speedway. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Southern Alleghenies Museum of Art at the Anderson House. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend and the racing. This is Lloyd Roach.
thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.